Welcome to the Estate Professionals Mastermind Podcast, a podcast for estate professionals who earn more, work less, and make a huge difference in their communities. If you get value out of this free content, be sure to check out probatemastery.com, where you can get live classes, access to weekly coaching, and valuable courses. To learn more, visit probatemastery.com. Now let's jump into this week's content.
Okay, and welcome to our weekly Probate Mastery Real Estate Coaching call. I'm Bill Gross, your coach for this call. We do this every Tuesday morning, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's also recorded and put on the website. It's related to the Probate Mastery website, probatemastery.com. And on there, you'll find the full offering of programs for those who are looking to build their business in probate real estate. Start with the basics with some free classes, and then if you want to get certified, and then there's some additional courses as well. And I've taken all of them and paid for all of them. I'm not a full-time coach or salesperson. I am a colleague of yours, and I'm on this call because I need to up my game and help build my business. Obviously, also referrals and networking and such. But this is the program that I've built my business on over the last 5 years. I'm glad to share with you the details. I'm in Los Angeles, California. You can continue the conversation on the Facebook community at Estate Professionals Mastermind. We have over 7,000 members. Feel free to ask questions, customer service questions, a great place to put them here, as well as watch for offerings that are coming up and sales and discounts and that kind of stuff. Separately, I host probateweekly.com, and you can go to probate, actually that's the wrong site, probateweekly.com. Oh, that's too bad. I do this every week now. I should have my own website put together better. Probateweekly.com, and we do this every Thursday at 4 p.m. It's an interview format. Really? Oh, I typoed. Okay, hold on one second. You know, I'm not a professional at this. I guess I am a professional at this. I should do a little better. Anyhow, I'll just leave it at that. Probateweekly.com, www.probateweekly.com. We get together every Thursday at 4 o'clock on interview format. Interview attorneys and professionals in the business. You can sign up to get registered there or join the podcast or see it on YouTube. And then I have a Facebook group as well, Probate Weekly. Love to have you join there and post your probate related content. So love to have you guys join us with that. And that's what I do. But the purpose of this call is to get together and together work on improving our probate real estate business. And the thing I want to emphasize, two things. One is that the purpose of this call is to be available to answer questions and to help you implement your and building your business. I was interviewed, actually it's a pre-interview call. I'm being interviewed by a vendor executorium, who I've also interviewed on my show a few times. Executorium is a great resource where it lists resources to executors. So it's a consumer-facing website, and as a realtor, you can join there and list yourself for free. I also interview on how you can use that tool to build your business. So he interviews me, and he asks me about the CPE designation. I said to him, which is, you know, truth, I just want to share with you guys, even though this is the official call for that group. I said, I think I've taken 5 different certification programs, several a couple times, including this one. And I said, I don't know there's any real value to being certified. Any attorney who requires that probably doesn't have a relationship with you. But what they all are looking for is the experience and knowledge that comes from learning and committing yourself to being a professional in this business. And I said, the difference I find with the probate mastery program is the commitment to learning the business and the industry and being part of it, rather than just merely how to get data and cold call it, which to me is more of a job. Here, we're going to urge you to build your business. Now, towards that, on Thursday at Probate Weekly, I'm going to talk about 11 different ways that you can build your probate real estate business, because I think there are at least 11 ways to get listings, for example. Not just one. And there's nothing wrong with just buying the data and cold calling it or buying the data and cold mailing it. But I do believe there's 9 other ways you can build your business. And I want to talk about those. But more importantly than that, I want you to think of it as building a business, not just a commission job where you make phone calls, sell a house, get a commission, or you know, flip a property, make a profit, go on the next one. That's really a job, but building a long-term equity business. That's the goal here for all of us. So that's the goal. That's what we're here for today. And one way is to talk to people who are doing what you're doing, who've been doing it longer than you, better than you, or also starting out and engaged with you as colleagues. And it's also help people behind you, the new people, help them along as well. So that's what we're here to do today. So feel free to raise your hand, ask questions. This is a free coaching opportunity. I have people literally call me all week long, and I do offer the opportunity to, I try to answer questions and such, but here's a chance for free. How can I help you build your real estate business? If you had a question to ask somebody who is a little ahead of where you are now, what would you like to ask them? Anybody? No? Cam, I see your finger up. Does that count as a hand up?
Yeah. How you doing? My name's Cameron Adesanya. I'm from Massachusetts. I'm just getting into this probate space.
Hey, Cameron, how you doing?
I'm well. So what are some foundational things that kind of help you navigate your process of just like building your network? Like what helped you?
Sure. So are you a real estate agent or are you a wholesaler, investor? What's your role in real estate?
So I started off as a wholesaler. Now I'm more of an investor. Like I can kind of take things down myself.
Okay.
I mean, still utilizing my network. But
And you say you're in Massachusetts. Are you in Boston, a metro area, or?
I'm like 30 minutes outside of Boston in Lowell,
Okay,
Mass. It's
Lowell,
like
Mass. I know Lowell.
it's like right on the New Hampshire border. So I kind of get the best of both worlds, you know?
The interstate, but no, what's that interstate that all the electronic companies are on? You're right there.
Yep, 495, there's
495.
95 and 93. They're all like parallel.
And so to date, what have you done so far that's built your network that's been working for you?
So I like to hit the ground running. There was a point when I first began, I was going to like 2 to 3 networking events a week, just introducing myself. So just a little bit about myself. I have my CDL. End up falling into this by knocking. Well, I saw a TikTok and then end up falling into this. Fast forward, knocking on doors, got my first deal just by knocking on doors. Second one, leaving sticky notes. My third one, cold call. And then I got super lucky and I ended up meeting a probate attorney. And long story short, she actually ended up giving me my two biggest deals to date. But like it didn't click to me at the time until like one of my mentors, like he didn't intentionally do it. Like he was sending mailers and he ended up getting a 68 unit because the guy died and the siblings, like they just didn't feel like, because it was the way it was set up, it was just like a bunch of houses. It wasn't like one complex. So they didn't want to like go through the process of like having to renovate and do all that. They wanted to sell to an investor. And he just
Okay.
got like super lucky at the right time. I mean, not
Well,
lucky because the
hold on a
guy
second.
died.
I just feel like you just ran over a whole gold mine here, and there's all kinds of gold nuggets were dropping along the way, and I don't want to miss them as we do this. So, Brad, how long have you been in the business?
Since not this September, the September before.
So, like a year and a half.
Yeah.
How
And
many
I'm
deals have you
sorry, I
closed
didn't mean to
already?
veer off. It just
No, it's okay.
ease
This
up.
is my job here. And so, how many deals have you closed one way or another in the last year and a half?
So I've done seven.
Seven. I'm just the people listening on this
Seven
call.
in one JV, joint
Okay.
venture.
Okay. Let's call it eight. Just you call that a deal too, I think. Just make it easy. And so the probate attorney, did you mail them a sequence of mailers for 6 months?
Nope.
Did you cold call them every day for, did you skywrite over their office? How'd you go from zero to getting referrals from an attorney? From that
Oh, I end up
particular attorney?
meeting, so I end up meeting a title attorney, just a title attorney just to close my deals. And so there was my stepmom end up, there's two little girls, their parents died 6 months between each other because of COVID.
Okay, hold
And
on,
they
hold
have
on.
a,
I have to say, because I think you're not noticing the gold all around you here. So let me just stop you. I'm trying to create some perspective. No offense,
no,
no
I get it.
disrespect.
I'm
And we also
sorry.
have 50 people on the call, and I want to make sure they understand what you're saying. Well, so I think if I could translate this, you tell me if I'm close. You had no relation with the attorney whatsoever. You had
No.
no intention of ever doing a relationship with them or getting referrals from them. But
No.
through your network, which includes your closing attorney, for those of us in California, we call them escrow officers, but your closing attorney happened to, in the course of their business, talk to an attorney who somehow introduced you to a deal.
Yeah. But, well, no, my stepmom introduced me to the two little girls, and I needed a probate attorney. So I asked my title attorney, just like, oh, do you know a
Oh, this is even
probate
better.
attorney?
So your
And the
mom
first time I
knew.
met her,
Well,
like, I brought
hold on.
her,
This
like,
is even
value.
better. I don't think you realize how good this is. So your mom introduced you to two girls
Yeah, their
who needed a
parents thought, yeah.
who had a probate property and introduced you to a probate attorney.
Yeah.
Okay, just stop for a second. Anybody who has a mom or ever had a mom, just think about that for a second. For all the marketing, you can't buy Cameron's mom's phone number through any data source. Cameron, and so Cameron, I'm just curious, how did your mom even think to have you talk to those two little girls?
Well, because they were going through the housing situation. So she was like, oh, maybe
Uh-huh.
you can help.
So
And I
your
was like, all
mom
right.
knew that you were in real estate.
Yeah, of
And
course.
your mom knew you, liked you, and trusted you.
Of course, it's my mom's.
Of course. Okay, so I'm just saying to everybody here. Everybody here, if I said to you, can you just start with your mom? Now, my mother's passed. I'm older than you are. But I could certainly talk to my daughter and my son-in-law as an accountant and other people in my life. And I think this is the thing that I tell people, and they always look at me like, come on, man, it's got to be more complicated than that. I mean, really? Isn't there some fancy data and AI and a program? Oh, there's all that.
Bill,
There.
wait till I tell you about the Danvers property. I think it's
Well,
gonna
I
be
can't handle it. It's too much already. Stop for a second. Stop.
wait till I tell you about the Danvers property. I swear it was the universe.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So
We're going to
I
title this
meet and the
episode, Bill is Right. Go ahead. I'm Cameron. I
Oh
didn't
no,
1,000%.
1,000%. This is why I love this. I love real estate. So I ended up meeting V, well, Veronica, and she changed my life. Like even till now, even to the point where like we're just very close at this point, like we're friends. So long story short, she brought me Maynard. I ended up capitalizing on that, and then Danvers. But there was a title situation to where like there was a missing link; they couldn't find the title. And I'm also just learning this, like real estate in general at this time, right? So, looking for the title. To the point where I'm even going to the registry of deeds and open up the books from like the 1800s, and I'm like peeling the books back and can't find the title, so I'm like super ready to give up. So fast forward 5 months, just because I've just been super blessed. This is like the good energy I put out. I've been super blessed, so then I just like bought a like 100 backpacks for like a bunch of kids in my area. So that happened on a Saturday. And Monday, I end up calling one of my mentors, and I was just like, "Hey, Nick, what should I do in this situation?" He's like, "Oh, talk to my wife. She's a title attorney." I'm like, "Oh, Meg, what should I do?" She's like, "Cam, because of the timeline of probate, I'm not going to be able to do this." I'm like, "Because we might have to do a quiet title, and I don't know what that is, you know?" So that happened on Monday, okay? And she was like, "You know what? I'm gonna refer you to a guy named Patrick Delaney." So just me, I love people. We're talking, and he's like, "Oh, my dad did estates in Peabody." So Peabody's right next door to Danvers. And I'm not thinking anything of it when he says that, right? He's like, "Oh, my dad did estates." I'm like, "All right, cool. You know, just talking, whatever." So just me being proactive, I tell my seller, I'm like, "Hey, Noel, you should go down to the registry of deeds. I mean, the city hall. Get everybody who died who owned the house and get who wrote the estate." So that happened on like Wednesday. And then I'm just like I'm super ready to give up because there's no nothing like happening. So then she ends up fast forward, she ends up like a week later, she ends up I'm writing everything down, just trying to keep track. And I'm like, "Oh, who wrote the estate?" She's like, "William Delaney." And I'm like, "Why does that last name sound super familiar, right?" It ended up being Patrick's dad who wrote the estate. And I'm like, "Let me just shoot my shot because, I'm just asking Patrick because he just said his dad wrote estates." And yeah, I end up finding the title.
Okay, so
Yeah.
really your complicated marketing plan sounds like making sure your mom knows you're in real estate, and then when you have a
Everybody.
problem, talk to people who you know are in real estate who might be able to help you.
Absolutely.
Okay, and so I think for all of us, I think that we overcomplicate the marketing part of this and don't really focus, because if you said, well, what's Cameron, no disrespect, not good at? He didn't have like a detailed marketing plan. He didn't have flyers, or that wasn't what got the business, right? Well, what her strengths? Well, he sounded to me to some level determined. Now, he said twice, if you heard him, he was super ready to give up, but he didn't give up. Or even if he did give up, he put the effort in and eventually the oil pops out of the ground because of the work he did a month prior. And so the thing that he did have was determination to get as far as he did. And that's the thing that I want to impress on all of you. Thanks for sharing that, Cam, but I just feel like we overcomplicate the process and overlook the fundamentals of research, taking notes, following up, asking questions, talking to people that we know, talking to as many people as you know about our problems. That's why I encourage you guys to go on the Facebook groups, because when you have these kind of problems, ask other people for help. You have 7,000 on the Probate Mastery Facebook group. You have 3,700 on my Facebook group who would love to help you, right? And Cam, it turned out, knew a couple people and that got the job done. So, okay, good. So you
Of
got
the
on here.
universe.
I know I cut you off because I wanted to make sure we pulled those lessons out for everybody. So you've earned your take. So how can I help you? What questions do you have?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to like take over the show.
No, it was
I
great.
just
It was
go on rant.
fantastic. I paid you $50 to walk through those stories. They were great. So what questions do you have, or how can I help you?
I was just more or less asking like how you go about building your business. I mean, network is everything, right? The relationships, but like, what are some steps you took, basically?
Great question. So here's what I would say to, I'm gonna share with you what I did, but I'm gonna share first what I think everybody has to do, which is you have to do your own, and this is what I did, my own self-assessment of what am I good at compared to the average person, right? What do I like to do versus what I don't like to do? And where's our need for the market fit? So when I did my self-assessment, I've been around attorneys my whole life. My father was an attorney. So my personality is kind of like one, even though I'm not an attorney. I'm a pretty smart guy. I'm educated. I kind of talk like an attorney. I like wearing suits and going to court. That was me. It's not everybody. That was me. Also, I would rather focus on the knowledge experience equation than the raw energy. I was 60 when I relaunched my probate business 5 years ago. So I couldn't compete with somebody like you on just hours of the day or intensity of work days, but I could compete with you if I could bring my bigger knowledge base to bear and my bigger Rolodex to bear. You can't compete with that. I can't compete with your speed and energy, but I can compete with what I have as my strength, right? That's how I looked at it. And so where's the market fit? Well, there are people who need help in probate. And so for me, I said, well, and I did some research. I took the Probate Mastery class where we were challenged to go to court one day. So for me, it was an obvious fit. I went to court every day. I met their families, petitioners, executors, attorneys, investors. Because at the end of the day, there's two things you have to do in real estate. You have to talk to a lot of people, and you have to develop deeper relationships. Those are the two. There's math, there's number, and there's depth. Right. And so you can talk to 10 people and go 10 deep as 100. You can talk to 100 people and go one deep as 100, or you can talk to one person and go 100 deep is 100. And so you have to find your mix that works for you. And so for me, going to court, doing podcasts like this were a way to reach out to other investors and also position myself with other attorneys to interview them on my podcast episode. But what I would say to you is do the same self-assessment. Don't copy my strategy. Copy the preparation, which is what are you particularly good at? You're a nice guy, you have great energy, you're a good looking guy. I imagine you meet people in person, they're going to like you, just my guess. So I would say, but what are your strengths? And think about them. You've done some deals. That's a big strength. You've done seven deals. That's more than most realtors in your market area by far in the last year. The average agent in your area probably has done one or two deals total, and you've done seven. So I would look at your strengths and play a strategy that works to your strengths rather than copying the ones that I used. And so what might those look like? Well, again, on Thursday, I think I'm going to talk about 11 ways to build your business. But networking events, I think, would be a natural for you, just in talking to you and the way you talked about it, meeting as many people as you can. And then there's strategies at networking. It's one thing just to say, well, I go to networking events. It's another thing to have a strategy to maximize your time at a networking event. So, for example, I go to three events a month. I host two of them, and I kind of look like I co-host the third. Because one of my strategies is if I'm going to go to an event, I want to be the leader of the event, not just one of the people there. I don't want to go to an event where I'm one of 20 realtors because we all look like jerks. I want to be the one guy who's the probate expert that everybody in the room kind of knows. And if you don't know me, you want to figure out who I am. So if you're going to network, then I would say play to win. And there's some strategies in networking. If you're going to cold call, there's strategies to winning cold calling. If you're going to mail, there's strategies to winning in mail. Whatever you're going to do, it's not just the technique, it's that technique and mastering it and refining it and working on it every day. So I don't have the right answer for you, but Cameron, but I think those are the right questions, which are what are your strengths? What do you like to do? And then where's the niche in the market? And then constantly review those questions and refine your strategy to those three areas.
Thank you, Bill.
Sure,
Thank
man.
you.
Thanks. Thanks so much for sharing your information. Really appreciate
Thank
it.
you. I appreciate it.
Okay. So, and I think he's in the same island spot as Winston Covington. So I'm in Los Angeles. It's raining here today. We don't have the sunshine and the wind blowing the tropical trees like those two guys do.
It just snowed like 3 days ago, so this is just a hopeful.
What is it about you guys in the Northeast? You always have the tropical backgrounds. Where's the snow? You guys always talk about, you try to tell us how nice the seasons are and how fun the snow is. I've never seen anybody in Boston with a background of a snowy mountain and a ski resort. I've never seen
Because
that.
we're just envisioning not being here.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all a lie. You're talking about how nice it is. It's just you're trying to talk us back into joining you. Okay, good. Okay, so there we go. So there you go. And again, the lesson learned from Cam or Cameron is sometimes it's not as complicated as we want to make it, but it does require the hard work. You've got to make those phone calls. I'll give you guys an example today for me, a real example. So I was in a court hearing. I had a client who wanted to buy a property. We just couldn't get enough information on it. And so my buyer said, I'm not going to bid on it. This is a court confirmation where where the seller brings a buyer and then you have the chance to overbid. And my buyer had signed up to overbid and decided she didn't want to do it. But I went to the hearing anyhow as a way to learn about, and I always want to see, well, what's the end of the story? This is a case where the petitioner, who was kind of an attorney and kind of not, he kind of advertises that he is, but he's not a member of the bar. So I don't know really what you call that. I don't want to make any accusations, was purposely trying to hide the property. He did not put the listing agent's name on the paper, but the brokerage was 600 agents, Keller Williams, a particular office. But didn't put the agent's name, so he couldn't find who the agent was, so he couldn't call to see the property. Didn't put the property in the MLS, which I think is required. And really was trying to sneak the deal through. But I went to the hearing to find out that there's another party that they're trying to sneak the deal through, who not like me trying to overbid it, but had some other legal issue with the estate. And as a result of that, I called that other attorney to introduce myself. Hey, I'm Bill Gross, I'm a broker who follows probate closely. I see you have a problem with this petitioner. The sale was delayed for 2 months. Let me give you some ammunition that will help you fight that sale on your behalf. Now, how many phone calls does an attorney get, do you think, from somebody offering to help them with some evidence on a lawsuit they're filing? Not many. And so, was that really magical? No, I just saw the hearing, I saw his problem. I have enough confidence to make the phone call and say, hey, I'd like to help you. Would you be interested? And he said, yes. And as a result of that, I've met another attorney. Now, is he going to give me a bunch of business? I don't know. I can tell you that attorneys like that have given me business over the last 5 years. They'll call, I got his name, I got his number, got his email. Interesting, his email is not on the CalBAR website, is nowhere on the internet. He gave me his email address so I can send him real estate related information, stay in touch with them in the way that no other agent can. And I'm sure Facebook and Google will try to connect into my various social media. And so is that a home run? No. Is that a solid single? Yes. And if you hit solid singles every day, you're going to make progress in your business. And that's the goal. And so what I want to say to you guys is don't make this business all win or lose on cold calling for an hour or two and getting a listing. It doesn't often work that way. It often is the accumulation of a lot of work over time. Oh, Lou, I forgot to introduce you. I'm so sorry. Thanks for posting there in the In the chat, Lou is our course advisor, and he is with Project Mastery. Are you still there, Lou? I'm looking for you on the. I don't see your video on, but I'd love to bring you in and have you say hi. Oh, I hope I didn't miss it. Anyhow, Lou Gutierrez put his information in the chat box. He's a course advisor for the program. If you have questions, you can contact him directly, or also go into the Facebook group, the Estate Mastery Facebook group there, and catch up with him, and he can give you help. Discovery calls and walk you through the program and help with all that. Lou, I'm so sorry for I should have introduced you right away. I just didn't see you on the call. And anyhow, are you there? Let's see, Lou. JK, no. Okay. And then I see Matt Price. Thanks for reminding me. I have two follow-ups today with two escrows. Yeah, well, I don't know that I would say necessarily it's follow-up. What the way I would try to term it is, because I really don't follow up. I feel like if you don't want to work with me, if you want to work with me, you'll call me. And if you don't, you won't. I want to stay in touch with everybody I ever meet. And then sometimes I would call it station to station. What's the next step in relationship? And make sure that I take that next step with somebody. That's why I try to think of it. I think sometimes when we focus on the marketing, we're cold calling, we have follow-up phone calls. A lot of that sounds like a lot of activity. But I try to think of it as, well, what's the next step in this relationship? And to perform that next step, whatever that might be. Okay. Other questions? Feel free to raise your hand, wave your finger, put a question in the chat box. Lou, I'm so sorry. I missed you on the call earlier. Who's that question? Who's that, Victor? You want to share?
Yeah, this is Ron again.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, I
Is it
noticed
Ron again or is it Ron Smith?
yeah, Ron Smith. I noticed there's a probate court in Lancaster, as opposed to going all the way down to LA. Would that be still be okay to go out to Lancaster, or are they really much two different courts?
Yeah, good question. So Ron is in Santa Clarita, which is like North Orange, North LA County. And north of him, kind of north and east, is Lancaster and Palmdale, what's called the Antelope Valley. So LA County, being the largest probate court in America, has consolidated, and it used to be the probate courts were spread out into regional centers, about nine courts, and they brought them all into mostly all into one location in downtown LA at the Stanley Moss Courthouse in downtown. However, there are cases that happen in the Antelope Valley that are held at the, I think it's the Mike Antonovich Courthouse in Lancaster, as well as there are occasionally cases at other courts that involve probate, usually guardianships or conservatorships or some other litigation. And so I would say 99% are held in LA County main courthouse, Ron, and there are is a percentage. Now, if I happen to live near LA County Court, so I made that my area of specialty. But if I lived in, close to Lancaster, and I'll leave you decide that if you do or don't, and I was in probate, I would know every day they offered hearings and how many hearings they had. I would really want to know. I literally track every single case in LA County. Everyone. I do track in Orange, San Bernardino, Riverside. I don't really review the data as intensely, but I literally track every single court sale in LA County. And so if I was in Santa Clarita going to Antelope Valley, I would certainly want to track every single one of those because the same attorneys tend to show up. And the same judges are there, obviously, the same time periods. I think it's one day a week that they have court. So I don't know the details because I've never been there. Again, my focus has always been downtown LA court because that's my competitive advantage. But I would urge you, not to deflect your question, but the opposite, to encourage you to find out on your own and be the expert of that, and then be the Antelope Valley court probate expert in your marketplace.
That sounds good. I was just kind of curious because it's one less traffic and it's not as crowded. But
Right.
I'd like to go out there, but then I'll head on down to LA County. Maybe I'll run into you.
Love to say hi if you're ever coming down. And I think that, in the long run, so when I started my business, I really had the idea of building a network both of those people who work for me or with me at my company and those who don't, for referrals and for sharing, because occasionally there'll be cases, same attorney in Lancaster, especially now with online, it's easier to do that. Yeah. So that was my, when I built my business, one of the original thoughts. I will say, haven't had as much of that as I'd like, but and I'm always looking for people in other areas to become the expert in and to work on learning those ins and outs. But I would encourage you on your own to really be the expert in the Lancaster court. I think that will give you a competitive advantage over the other agents in the marketplace.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jennifer has a question, and then Ryan. Jennifer says, when you're going to court, did you just walk up to attorneys and families? If you did, what'd you say? You've already answered this. I apologize for repeating. No, Jennifer, you're welcome to ask a question. So I will say, Jennifer, that I don't know if you're on video and want to come in and join us. Love to continue the conversation, but if you want to turn on your video, if not. So a couple of things I would say. That. One is my nature. I'm really shy. My two favorite hobbies are reading books and swimming. And I'm a swim team. You don't really talk to other people. The team, you kind of, coach gives you assignments and you swim. Because I really don't need to talk to anybody other than my wife and my daughter, son-in-law, and grandson, kids. If I never talked to a human being, I'd be fine other than business. But I realized I didn't work in business. And so I will share with you one tool I learned on how to talk to people. I started this about 20 years ago, which is whenever I'm in an elevator, my goal is to get a conversation with the other person or people in the elevator. And so I just learned on my own how to ask questions. And I think you have to be authentic. You know, I'll give you an example. I'm a pretty conservative guy. I tend to wear black and dark, you know, shades of color. Mm-hmm. If I was a woman, I would love sparkly shoes, just whatever that's worth. So when I'm in an elevator with a woman and she's wearing sparkly shoes, I always comment on it. Now I try to do it in a way that's dignified and appropriate and not inappropriate, not creepy. But generally I find women love comments about sparkly shoes, just for what that's worth. But whatever it is, I'd find some reason to talk, to develop that skill. And so to answer your question, a couple tricks on going to court. One is court would start at 8:30 a.m. was the official post time, but they're almost always late. Today, I was at court hearing at 8:30, we didn't even start till 9:25. So what happened would be people would be outside the courtroom because they didn't open the doors. And you can imagine nervous, which means they're kind of easy to talk to. They're anxious. When we're nervous, we're anxious for any kind of diversion from our nervousness. So I found that particularly easy to talk to. Now I dressed like an attorney. I would always wear dark suit, white shirt, silk tie. I had a briefcase, a rolling briefcase, like attorneys would have in the courthouse. Mm-hmm. And I would just walk up and introduce myself. Hey, I'm Bill Gross. I'm a probate real estate expert. I'm curious, what brings you here today? And some people were really offended. Oh my God, how can you ask me a question? Okay, I just went to somebody else. So I just wanted to ask the question and try to get the conversation going, try to find something to talk about. Another trick I had was in LA County, again, busy courthouse, people walking around and I look like I knew what I was doing and people walk up to me and say, do you know where Department 42 is? Well, I had on my phone the roster of the rooms and such. So I was kind of like a de facto greeter. Explain to people where to go. Another thing I did was, because I went every day, was I offered a meetup at court for people who want to learn how it worked, and they would meet me at court at 8:15. And so I'd have two or three people, I'm walking around talking to them, showing them where the room is, where the paper is. So people just assumed I was some sort of a docent or tour guide or something.
Yeah.
And some attorneys would just say, I'm just curious, what the hell are you doing here? And I'd say, well, I'm just a real estate broker and I'm friendly and trying to meet people. So that's a long answer to the question, Jennifer, which is really just do whatever it takes to get in conversation with people. It doesn't really matter.
So just anybody that's outside of the courtroom?
There you go.
Okay, well, I can talk a wall down, so I should be able to do that.
Yeah,
I'm overthinking it. I'm overthinking it and I'm scaring myself, but I'm just going to go for it.
I did, and you know, I was very uncomfortable, but after a while, it became kind of fun. I made a game out of it, and my goal was to go home every day with 1.5 name, address, phone number, email address, so I can keep in contact with somebody, permission to keep in contact with somebody. So it might be the business card, or they might give me the info or whatever. And I might talk to five people to get that one. I wasn't looking for five. I was looking for one and a half a day.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for taking my question. I appreciate it.
Sure. Jeffrey, where do you live?
I'm in Acworth, Georgia. So that's Northwest Georgia. I'm about 30 minutes north of Atlanta.
So I'm going to guess that people there are much friendlier than Los Angeles.
They're very nice. You know, I don't, it's really a fear that I build up in my head than anything else, you know, and when it gets started, when I get on a roll, I'm fine. It's just getting started, whether it's the phone or because I do call out of state PRs for this area, but I really want to get connected in my own county.
Why not? It's a lot easier. So would you like a little coaching on this?
Yes.
When next can you go to court?
I can go Thursday.
So why don't you go Thursday?
Okay.
And your goal is to meet two people. Maybe they're an attorney to give you a business card and permission to stay in touch with them. Maybe they're a petitioner. And your goal is to have one and a half while you're there. Either get one or two. Let's see if you get two is a victory. And if you get one, at least you showed up and participated. Come back here next week and report any results.
Okay, I'll do that. That's what I need. Okay.
And really, and then I would also think, do this. Think about your goal is to help them. You're looking for somebody who needs your help. So let me give you a couple statistics. First question, you're a real estate agent, correct?
Yes.
What percentage of real estate agents are incompetent?
A large number.
Too large.
I've worked with a lot of them.
Over half, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if they work with you, that's who they're going to work with. Can't you save them from that?
Yeah.
Second, here's another statistic that I found. It may not be true nationally, but nobody's argued it with me. And I've said this probably 100 times. In my experience, 90% of customers are happy the day they sign up with their attorney. And 90 days later, 90% of the time, they hate their attorney.
Oh, wow.
And it always gets down to just lack of communication.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like you're giving them the thing they want, which is access to information. Attorneys, just like realtors, 90% don't know anything about probate in your county. Mm-hmm. So for example, just because I knew the calendar and the list of cases and which room each case was in, and that outside each door was the list of the cases with the name and the order they're going to be called. By getting there early, I could tell their client, oh, by the way, here's the sheet. Let's see. Oh, there's your name. You're number five. These three are checked off already, meaning they're already approved. So you're probably going to be pretty early. Or you're number 30. You're going to be a long ways down, right? Just telling them that was of great comfort to the customer, right? It didn't really require a lot of science. It was just going there a few times and looking at the wall and figuring out the system.
Okay, I like that.
Come back next week and share the results, okay? Jeffrey, we're all going to text and email you next week if you don't show up.
I'll be here. Trust me, I'm not going to get clocked on that. I'll be
here. Okay. Okay.
All
great,
right.
Jeffrey.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. It was fun. Okay, there you go. Somebody else had their hand. I think it was Ryan. You had your hand up. I don't know if you had to jump off or you're still there.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey, Ryan, what's going on?
Hey, thanks. Thanks for being here, Bill. I appreciate it. Sure. I'm a agent in North Carolina and new to probate space. So just going through the typical gyrations of, exploring where to get, lead sources and so forth. A lot of what you've discussed here today. One thing I'm hung up on right now is pre-probate versus probate leads, the validity of those and how different one's approach might be for that. So I'm not asking necessarily for a whole sales pitch on how to, do one versus the other. But is pre-probate a definitive method for obtaining or getting in front of a potential sellers versus a probate or not?
So here's the advantage of me because I'm not getting paid by the company. I can tell you the truth. Okay. That was my requirement when I took on this position with Chad, the predecessor, and with Bruce. I said, the only requirement I have is I want to tell my opinion. I would think I would be humble enough to know the limits of what I know, but be able to be honest with my experience. So here's two things I would say to you. Number one, despite the fact I know about 3,000 people in the probate space as realtors across the country, I don't know one working pre-probates profitably. Now, it's possible I do know one or more and they're not telling me, but usually people tell me what's working. Maybe privately offline, they would call or text me and say, hey, Bill, I'm using them and don't tell anybody, it's working great for me. I don't get that feedback, number one. Number two, the only people I know who promote pre-probates aren't actually marketing pre-probates for their real estate business. Meaning I'm a real estate broker, I'm looking to list property. Occasionally I'm a principal and I flip property as an investor as well. I don't know anybody doing that who's saying, oh, I work pre-probates.
And what's the mechanism? What's the mechanism that has that occur? Because they're just not ready yet from the seller's perspective?
If you ask me to guess, because I'm pretty good with data, pre-probate means somebody died.
Right.
And they cross-reference that to that same person very likely owns property.
That's it. And I think it begins and ends right there from what little I know about it thus far.
Correct. So first off, a chunk of those have spouses. So they're not going to go to probate. Then a chunk of those have trusts. Mm. They're not going to need to go to probate. Mm. And then the other thing is sometimes, you know, if it's even as a probate, you know, I think that people are surprised how long it is from the date of death to the date of sell property.
Yeah, I'm learning that.
In regular real estate, so here's an interesting statistic that I know is valid because I know companies who have the real data. There was a company, Boomtown, I think they got bought by somebody that did a study, and it was again confirmed by another company later. I've lost the name of them, but another one of the CRM products. So these companies, you would join them and then you pay for advertising. They would put leads in your database and then you'd mark them as closed. And so they could track new lead to closing date and the actual time. And I know agents are shocked when you tell them, but the average lead, buyer or seller, is over 2 years from inquiry to close. Pre-probate is probably going to be a little longer than a probate on average. And so I just think that if you have a marketing program, you got to be ready to hang out with that person. Now, maybe what you're doing is you're doing an initial sifting through, you find the ones you connect with, and then you stay with them for 2 years. Right. But I don't know anybody who's doing it successfully. I know I literally get approached weekly with companies who want me to market that to my database of agents like you. I say, well, who's using it successfully? I'd be glad to talk to them. And I never get an answer. So I'd be careful. I wouldn't say not use it. I would say be judicious. Like anything else, you can test.
Yeah,
it.
I'm completely neutral. I have no skin in the game either way. I was just curious how I was having difficulty, to your point, finding kind of valid data around the efficacy of the pre-probate versus the probate. I'm like, well, how come I haven't heard about it? And I mean, to your point, I think that's why, because, you know, there aren't a lot of people out there necessarily crushing it. It's a tough niche to regardless. But second, if I may quickly, I just learned today about an ad litem or ad litem list that some counties will publish. But again, I'm going at that blind. But when I first heard about it, the person that told me about it said that that might be a, they had used that in the, they were in California, actually, I think at the time.
Right.
What is that only for minors or is it for anybody that needs to be, they assign a probate case to?
Right. I don't know the exact term, but I believe it's Latin. It has something to do with not having capacity. So the term is guardian ad litem.
Ad litem.
Yeah. Is somebody who's appointed on behalf of a child. So you can imagine mom and dad die and you know, leave in their will everything to the child. Or if they don't have a will, it would go to the child. But the child's a minor and can't transact, can't represent themselves and things like that, can't handle a bank account. And so a guardian ad litem is appointed that will act on the guardian's behalf. Also could be the guardian, let's say the child's been taken away, you know, for custody reasons or whatever. So and usually those are done publicly because if you think about it, if the county is going to take away your rights or if the county is going to represent you as a child, that should be made public so that there's a lot of scrutiny. We should all have a chance to say, is that right or not?
Of course, yeah.
And so that's why. So I think what you're referring to is there are cases where there's a guardian ad litem and those cases are published as opposed to a probate case. So in LA, for example, we have in the probate courtroom, we have probate cases. We also have conservatorships. We also have guardianships. We also have trust litigation. All that is done in the probate courts. When I tell people I do probate business, I really do all of those kind of combined.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Sure. My pleasure. Thanks, Ryan. Welcome. Hand up, Matthew. Matthew Troncone. What's going on, Matthew?
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Doing great.
I am a broker. I'm licensed in New Jersey, and I relocated to Florida in July.
Oh, great. What part?
I'm over on the West Coast, Land O'Lakes, just nice. North of Tampa.
Land O'Lakes, I think, is the home of Publix?
Yes. They're all over the state.
And there's a corporate headquarters, though, I think, is Land O'Lakes.
Yeah, it's quite a company down here. You can't drive three blocks without running into one. But I recently relocated down here. I got my broker's license, and there's no reciprocity, so I had to take the 72 hours and another 60 hours of CE credits and everything. But trying to get started with the probates down here, up in New Jersey, you know, I knew a lot of people, did a lot of networking. So I'm trying to build that down here. So one of the good things is the firm that I joined down here with my broker's license, they have an attorney on staff. And I did a little chit chat with him, and I feel Ryan's pain there, having to wait 2 years, you know, with probate and all of that. But down here, they have what they call the homestead. Mm-hmm. And if your house is declared as a homestead, you can sell it before going through the whole probate process, mm-hmm. which kind of speeds things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't gone down to the courthouse yet. I will get down there. I was started marketing, sending out letters, and I started a whole ad campaign mm-hmm. for Facebook, mm-hmm. which I'm going to launch probably this week. I've been putting everything together, but I was just wondering if you had any other useful tidbits for me to kind of like get the rubber to meet the road.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to meet people somehow, right? And so I think that all the marketing in the world, if I could wave a magic wand and give you the most effective marketing program in the history of the world, it's going to result in either you having to talk to people on the phone, most probably, or meet them in person. And so you better do that too and get good at that. And there's no substitute for that. I think sometimes people feel that, well, I'm not good at talking on the phone, so I'll market. Well, that's tough, because now you're going to have bad conversion problems because you're not good at being on the phone.
Right.
And so to some degree, talking the phone is its own benefit, and going to network events as well as a good benefit. So I know in your area, there are quite a few real estate investment groups. I would urge you to kind of do some networking as well to meet people in person.
Right. Yeah. I had a lot of investment groups in New Jersey. I would go to meetings mm-hmm. every week, mm-hmm. two or three networking meetings. And I've been looking around to find some groups here, but a lot of them are just business people, kind of like the BNI type group,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I haven't really found any serious investing groups yet.
Okay. As I keep looking, I know there's quite a few in Florida,
yeah.
particularly on the West Coast and where you're at in particular, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, I know there's several. Look at Eventbrite, look at Meetup, Facebook.
Right, yeah. I belong to Meetup. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, I hope that helps a little bit.
Thanks.
Thanks, Matthew. Okay. Who else has a question? We got about 10 minutes left at most anyhow, so. Anybody have any? Ryan, is that a hand up, or is that just waving a hand?
Can I ask a question?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I went to, I live in the LA area, so I went to LA court last week.
Nice.
And I didn't know the schedules of hearings over there, so I went there in person. And actually, there was one over there, but the judge was there and the clerk was there, but everyone else involved, they were on Zoom.
Yeah.
So it's pretty common that, you know, that's my question there. And it's not a regular hearing. Each probably is a contestant, you know, one of the hearings about a contestant. I don't know the details because I didn't know the history of the that hearing, so I really didn't get that much. But also, how do you track all the proper hearings in LA ahead of time so I can go there just to attend those? Because I went there only one hearing. And so I wonder, do they have hearings every day? I just go there and take my chance?
You know, the one thing I don't share that that I developed myself as proprietary is the database of the hearings. What I would say is I learned how to do that by going to court and paying attention and noticing what was available and then using those resources and built a system to track all the hearings. In LA County, there's different hearing time periods, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30 afternoon. Yeah. The 8:30 court is the most active. Most people are going to be there at 8:30, but that's uh-huh. in the morning. You're right. Most people are on Zoom now, especially most attorneys. Mm-hmm. But occasionally there'll be people go there in person. Having been there recently, for court confirmations, typically somebody will show up. The attorney most commonly will show up because they're really supposed to be there in case somebody shows up to bid on the property. So that's why I used to always go when there's court confirmation hearings in particular, if that helps a little bit.
But how do you know Zoom,
which, they have Zoom also, confirmation? Yeah. And then the Zoom also, you might want to try checking in one time just to watch. I think you'll find it very informative. It's called LA Court Connect.
LA Court Connect?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how do you find out there's a court confirmation hearing there?
I'm not in a position of training, you know, on my competition, but I will say that oftentimes in the MLS, you'll see a property that's listed for sale and they'll put their, the details of the court confirmation. So if you search in the MLS, mm-hmm. Court and court, confirmation, yes, no, but yes, oftentimes they'll put in there the date, the time and location.
Okay. I got it. Okay. I'll check MLS. Thank you.
Sure, Barnett. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay. And I see, Emily, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I'm confused about the story that you told about people trying to sneak. Was this a sale or what was the thing going on?
So Emily, what state do you sell real estate in?
Wisconsin.
Okay. So different states have different laws. In California and some other states, certain probates need what are called court confirmation or court approval. Mm-hmm. And so as a listing agent, you list the property, you'll get an escrow, but you have to tell the buyer, oh, by the way, we have to go to court for us to prove the sale. And not only that, somebody may come in and overbid you by a minimum of 5%. And so you go through that process, you go to court, and sometimes the price is so low that investors will want to show up and overbid at the court case. So that's what I usually look for.
Okay, it's different here, yeah. Mm-hmm. What we find here is sometimes there's somebody that stands to inherit it and they turn down all the offers because they want to keep it themselves. Like they're court ordered to sell it, but then they can't sell it.
Correct. Right. And so that's a case where I think oftentimes there are agents who are used to getting away with being dishonest and my job is trying to catch them. So that was the case today where the administrator purposely didn't put the name of the listing agent, just the name of the brokerage, Keller Williams, so that I couldn't identify the listing agent to show the property, and then said, well, nobody showed up, you know, to court. Well, of course, if you don't show the property, nobody's going to be able to bid on it. And a couple other things he did that were dishonest. And so the goal is to try to root that out, both for my benefit, my customer gets to buy a property, for the estate's benefit, they sell the house, because in this case, he's one heir of five. The other four, he's cheating, because if he buys it through his friend at a low price, the other heirs aren't getting a fair price for the property. So I've made that one of my main areas to focus in on. Okay. Thanks, Emily, from Wisconsin. And let's see. Ryan's hand's up. Let's get you in here. Let's get you unmuted and we'll bring you in.
Sorry, I just had a quick question. I was listening to what Matthew had said earlier about moving to Land O'Lakes, and I don't know if this was the venue for it, but I'm an agent in North Carolina, and I'm with a group that does a fair amount of investing, especially right now in that area, Land O'Lakes, Lakeland, and so forth. I don't know if there was a way to connect with him individually on this platform, and then maybe we could talk, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll send you a message in the chat with my contact information.
All right, Matthew. Sure
I actually have property in Plant City as well.
Okay, and, wonderful.
I have kids that Land O'Lakes and Bartow, which is another town down that way.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, I'll look in the chat right now and look forward to connecting. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And for the rest of you as well, feel free to put your contact information.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate the connection.
Sure. The rest of you as well, put your information in the chat box. Love to have you guys connect with each other as we wrap up the call. And the monthly win, Matt says he's not provided a choice for an attorney. He just moved into her own probate practice. Congratulations, Matt. I had a win. I have a, it's really interesting. You know, I'm pretty busy. full disclosure, I was sick for the last couple of weeks. I'm still coming, finishing up with a cold. You might be hearing my voice a little bit. And, but I'm a little off my disciplines of making my phone calls, my past client attorneys, but I do mail postcards to my kind of core attorneys every month. And I try to call them all about every 90 days. And I called one and he said, it's funny you would call. I'm looking for somebody who can be a fiduciary, which means he wants to handle the estate on behalf of the client. And for property management, it turns out this man passed. He had a property management company and owned about 20 properties and needs somebody to property manage. Well, I happen to have a very close friend who got licensed as a fiduciary, has a lot of property management experience. So they hired him as a fiduciary, which is great for him. He gets the business. And as a result, when they start selling properties, I'm the agent who gets to represent them to sell the properties. So, you know, it's one of those things where we just have to keep doing our job and keep reaching out to people and keep contacting. There's no one magic piece of business, I don't think. It's really just every day, put your effort in as best you can, and over time, you'll be successful. That's my best advice to all of us. And hopefully those lessons we got today from Cameron and from everybody else in this call, which is, it's not going to be some magic new technique. Nothing wrong with good techniques, but it's going to be the consistent activities over time, both breadth of your network and depth of your network that you have to work on every day that in the long run, I think will bring you the business you want. So, okay. So you guys who want to access the chat, you should save it now real quick. We're going to wrap it up. Just a real quick kind of recap on who we are and where we come from. This is the Probate Mastery Weekly Real Estate Coaching Call. I'm Bill Gross. I lead this call every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. ProbateMastery.com. You can go here to get the basics for free, to get certified, the Probate Mastery course, and then additional course bundles as well. Click here. Continue the conversation at Estate Professionals Mastermind. We have over 7,000 members. You can ask questions about the program, ask questions about probate real estate in general. Look for referrals out of state, attorneys, and real estate agents. And then I host ProbateWeekly.com. ProbateWeekly.com, and you can go to that and sign up here. Put your email address, you'll get registered for the program, or you can watch the podcast or the YouTube as well. And then I have a Facebook group, Probate Weekly, where we continue the conversation there as well. So I'm Bill Gross. I'm in Los Angeles, California. If I can help you guys, I think I got everybody. Yes, I think I have the questions. Download the chat if you can. And otherwise, have a fantastic week. Thanks for participating. I appreciate you. Bye-bye.